something about us that we, if we get used to things, we just get to where we do not recognize the value of it. And that's why we have to be reminded and remind ourselves of those things that are important. And that's why we're doing these messages, just as a reminder. Familiar, but in fact very important subjects: the brevity and the uncertainty of life, guarding our hearts from idolatry, not allowing other things to take, even good things, even blessings of God that have the capacity to move in and take over. And then the role of God's Word in our life. And it was great on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, one of our folks that came on Wednesday night gave this testimony: I've been reading the Bible more than I've ever read it before. That was Wednesday night. We cheered her on. And so I encourage you, do not lose sight of that. We set out as a challenge to believers to read the New Testament through this year. Now I realize some of you may have, in the course of a year, will read the Bible through a couple times. But maybe if you've not read the Bible much, this is a great opportunity to jump in this new year. And we made those New Testaments that we pass out to visitors available. It's in a language that's easily understood, and there's a lot of helpful notes in those New Testaments. So the role of God's Word in our life, and then the fear of God, reasons to reverence Him, His greatness, and His great love. And then the week before last, when you pray, as we read Jesus teaching His followers how to pray, it's not a show, it's a conversation with God. And so that's what we've done so far. Today I want to talk about the subject of forgiveness. And it's interesting, even in when Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, He included in there this thing of forgiveness. So it must be very important, because He did a very concise teaching on prayer. I think I mentioned to you when we spoke, there are books and books and books written about prayer. Some of you may have them in your libraries. But it's interesting, Jesus, if you look at it, He sets up a very concise way in which we can go about speaking with the Father. But in that, He does speak about forgiveness. I'm going to ask Benzi if you could pull up Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and then we'll read verses 14 and 15. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And just in case they missed it, He repeats it again. Look at verses 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so we're going to talk today about forgiveness. Now, we're going to try to show a video clip. We had a little bit of a malfunction this morning getting everything together. I do not have a Facebook account. I just don't even mess with it. But every now and then I look at what Deb's doing. And she usually does this to me: get your own Facebook. And I get the sharp elbow in the ribs. But I was just kind of looking over some stuff, and I saw a clip on forgiveness. Eva had actually put it out there on her Facebook. Did anybody see that thing about forgiveness? I thought it really spoke to really where we're at in our nation today, but even more so the importance of forgiveness. So, Zabinzi, if you think we can go ahead and show that, and Tony, if you can turn the lights out, I'm going to turn these out.
Thank you.
tech guys at the county fair chasing his son's pig around. So I'd like for you to see this. He'll be out next week as well, but we'll see if we can get this up for you. I will tell you, those who do some searching, it's called Crooked Cop Learns Forgiveness, and just a powerful story about a police officer who lied about an individual, and that individual went to prison for 4 years. And the police officer later on went to prison himself for some other issues, but they both ended up in the same halfway house after they got out of prison, working together, and they learned forgiveness. Now, it could have been a whole nother story. I wish that we could show it to you this morning, but you're just going to have to take my word for it. It's good. We'll try to show it. You know, forgiveness is a word that brings out differing reactions in us. If we're thinking about God's forgiveness of us, that's a welcome topic, isn't it? Resulting in gratitude and peace. I want to read you somebody who wrote about forgiveness and how much it meant to him. Psalm 32. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And it's somebody that you've heard of before. His name is David, King David. Do you remember the story of David? Instead of going out to battle, he hung around there and got himself into trouble with another woman. It was another man's wife. She got pregnant. He got word about it. He called her husband in to kind of cover his tracks, but her husband would not even go sleep in his own bed. He slept out on the step of his house while his men were out there facing that. And so David, in order to cover his tracks even more, told his general, send this guy out into the heat of the battle so he'll die. Really a pretty awful story, isn't it? And David was confronted with his wrong and his sin, and he prayed to God. He knew he was wrong. Let me read here the words that he wrote. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. I'm not going to ask for personal testimonies, but has anybody ever been there? We know we have sinned against God and others, and we try to fight it and fight it and fight it, but it keeps hunting us down. That's the grace of God and the mercy of God, by the way, along with judgment. Let me read on here. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Now, David stood forgiven in God's sight. Now, that didn't erase the consequences because they happened to trail David most likely the rest of his life. And that's something to keep in mind, that God will forgive us if we come before him honestly with repentant hearts. But that does not always erase the consequences of our choices. That's important. So when we speak about forgiveness, God's forgiveness, we're glad to hear about that. If we need to seek forgiveness from someone that we have wronged, we might struggle with our pride. Anybody know what that's like? We know we've done somebody wrong, and to admit it and to fess up, to own it. Finally, we, in humility, go to the person, and when we do, our conscience is cleared, and we realize that it was well worth the effort. Anybody ever been there, by the way? Relieved is the word I think of when we have wronged somebody, and I've been there as well, and had to go and to break down pride and say, I have been wrong, please forgive me. By the way, as a young parent, when our kids were small, I had a struggle. I thought, do I admit that I have done something wrong? Because does that mean that they're going to respect me less? I found out that it only caused the opposite. them to respect even more because we were honest enough to say, hey, I've been wrong at this, and I'm trying to do the right thing. But there's another, and it seems maybe the most uncomfortable kind of forgiveness, and it's usually when somebody else has wronged us or hurt us, and we must extend forgiveness to somebody else. Now, let me just say at the outset, it is wise just to let some things roll off our backs, like water off a duck's back. You know that you've heard that saying? James wrote, he said, indeed, we all make many mistakes. And look, friends, we're human. We're not always going to get it right. And so it's important not to get hung up on every little perceived slight that comes rolling your way in this life. It's going to be an uncomfortable existence for you and I. The Bible has a lot to say about this kind of forgiveness. Maybe because our emotions and our memories are just so much a part of our lives. Now, you know, this thing of forgiveness, I can remember our dear brother down in our church in Woodford Hill, Dominica. His name was S.B., Sylvester Benjamin. I think I've told you the story about him before. A dear brother, God did a great work in his life, and he used to speak to our whole church, and he used to say, I can remember when there would be some kind of rumblings and people not getting along and wanting to argue about this or that, and he would say to us, he'd say, let me remind you, while you're looking at somebody else is looking at you. And that's where we are with this thing of forgiveness. The Bible does have a lot to say about that. And you know, to begin with, we cannot avoid the fact that just being in relationships often bring hurt, disappointment, unmet expectations, and the need to forgive. Again and again, we read this message that Jesus expects us to be willing to forgive because he has forgiven us. I want to read another passage here, the book of Mark 11 and verse 25. And if you're able to bring that up too, please, Zabenzi, I appreciate that. Here's what Jesus said, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, we need to understand something, that this does not mean that God's grace is conditional. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about our day-by-day walk through this life. And your relationship with God and my relationship with God is not contingent upon how well we do at this thing of forgiving. Because on any given day of the week, it might look better or worse, right? Okay, depending upon a whole lot of circumstances. God's eternal salvation is secure, but forgiveness in our daily walk is what he's getting at here. Now, what we need to do to find healing through forgiveness, I've wanted to include some practical application to this thing of forgiveness, and while we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus speaks specifically about forgiving those who have hurt us, all right? Just some practical stuff. Face the pain and the hurt done to us by the other person. The temptation sometimes is to just avoid it, excuse it, or explain it away. Again, we're talking about real hurt, not slights, not the day-by-day bumps and bruises that you just get because you're a human being and you're dealing with other human beings. We're talking about real hurt. And some people in this room have endured some real injury at the hands of other people. And I don't know, but maybe you have been struggling with forgiveness about someone who has injured you, and you just have been struggling with it. And I hope that as we look at the word, that it'll really bring a help to that trouble, that difficulty. There's another way in which we keep from facing the pain, and that is we think, well, I shouldn't feel this way. I ought to be more spiritual and just to overlook that. But it's important that we look the hurt in the eye and acknowledge it at least to ourselves. There's another part of this, and that is to recognize the resentment. Now, first of all, resentment is normal. We're wired that way so that when we're hurt or scared, we react. It's one of the ways that we protect ourselves. However, if we continue to carry resentment in our heart, we need to forgive. If you recognize that resentment has just got a home in your heart, it's an indicator that we need to forgive. And a good way to see if we need to forgive is to ask ourselves a couple questions. Here's a couple questions. And I will say this requires some real soul searching and honesty on our parts. And that is this: do I still want to get even with this person? It may be years in the past. Do I still want to get even with this person? And then here's another question: do I still harbor the desire to punish him or her? There's another error that sometimes people make, and that is to just blame other things and other people. We must assume responsibility for our own present behavior. Our tendency sometimes is to blame others for why we don't forgive. Now, this doesn't mean that we should take responsibility for other people's bad behavior, saying, well, I just must have done something wrong, really bad, to deserve this kind of treatment from somebody. Instead, what we need to honestly do is to own the hurt, to face it, to recognize resentment in our own lives, and then determine that we can choose to forgive. Here's another thought along this line of getting some healing in regard to forgiveness, and that is to relinquish the control of the consequences when we forgive. Broken and difficult relationships distress us. Would you agree with that? Most people do not thrive on conflict, okay? Every now and then, a good row gets the blood going, but most people just do not thrive on conflict in their lives. And so if there is a broken or a difficult relationship, it distresses us, and we want to get it right. It's natural to want to make things right. Some people think that forgiveness will automatically put it all back together. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. When God instructs us to forgive, there is not the promise that the other person will change to do what we want them to do. Otherwise, it can become just manipulation. I'll forgive you, and I expect you to just fall into line with what I want you to do. The attitude of this: God, I forgive this person who hurt me, and I relinquish control of the consequences to you. Whatever happens in the future, I'll trust you in that. And that's helpful. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we get to the end of the message. But these are just some thoughts in relation to forgiveness. And here's one that's important: that forgiveness is a decision, but it's also a process. Most likely, resentment for when we've been injured will not disappear all at once. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel like you've been injured, you want to forgive. You've maybe read these same verses that we've read today where Jesus said, hey, if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive. And your heart is convicted, but that resentment, it's still there. Understand that we may have to travel that path repeated times. And do not get discouraged, but just continue to trust God to do what he's called us to do. And you know what's interesting about it? It can return and ambush us years later, can't it? Sometimes it can come back and haunt us years later. In obedience, forgive, and then ask God to help take care of the feelings. Now, some memories and resentments are so painful in our lives that it is helpful to have a trusted friend or a counselor to walk and talk with us as we go through it. Sometimes, have you ever found that sometimes just talking through a situation with somebody that you really trust, it doesn't maybe change the circumstances, but it helps you get a better handle on it and you get some perspective on what you're dealing with. Let's talk for a minute about the results of refusing to forgive. Often we refuse to forgive because we feel that not forgiving is our payback to the one who hurt us. We think, you hurt me, I'm not going to forgive you. In fact, I'm going to let you know I'm not forgiving you. But the truth is that unforgiveness tortures us more than it does the other person. Sometimes we see someone who has hurt us and they're just skipping through life as if it's carefree, not a worry in the world. Someone has said that unforgiveness is like being stung to death by the same bee over and over and over and over again. It's best to release that and to forgive as God has called us to do. And sometimes depression results from bitterness and anger that's turned inward on self or turned on somebody else. Let's take a look at something. It's a verse that's often misunderstood. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. The Apostle Paul was writing to some believers, maybe a whole lot like us in our church here in Indiantown. And they had problems too, and they had issues they had to work through. He tells them, stop telling lies. That's one thing. Quit lying. That's a good place to start. And let's read these verses, 26 and 27. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Some have said that anger, just being angry, is a sin, but it's not what it's saying. If you can't get angry about some things, you better check your pulse. God gets angry about some things. And there are some things and it's a natural reaction to when we perceive that we are hurt or injured. But we can sin by letting anger control us. Through the years, I've gone to prisons and jails. And I have talked with individuals who've had something happen to them. And they swallowed it. And bitterness and resentment welled up inside them. And they did not forgive. And it caused them and took them to places they never thought they'd go. It's a dangerous thing. It's not saying don't feel anger, but handle anger rightly in a way that builds relationships, that tries to build relationships instead of just destroying them. If we as Christians refuse to forgive, we still belong to God, but we are out of step with His will, what He wants for our lives, and likely out of fellowship with Him as well. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is going to teach the disciples about forgiveness. And friends, if we are committed to try to seek out what God has for us, and we read it and we say, that's where I should be going, we fail at this. We struggle with it. It's not a neatly packaged thing in our lives, but we need to recognize what God wants. And if you here today who can think in your own mind of when you did forgive, when someone really injured you, and what a freedom you felt in that, didn't necessarily mean that everything was, back in place the way it had been before, but there's a freedom that God wants us to have. Forgiving those who hurt us. Let's read in Matthew 18. I want to read verses 15 through 17, and then there's an interesting question that Peter the apostle asks. If another believer sins against you, Jesus is saying, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Let's just take a look at that, some principles. Go to the one who has hurt you. What do? We go to everybody else, don't we, in our little circle. And we go to that person seeking to work it out, seeking not to harbor resentment, seeking not revenge, and not resorting to gossip. That's what Jesus lays down about those who have injured us. Again, I need to put it here, little bumps and bruises of life. We got to just grow up about some of that stuff. But we're talking about real hurt and real injury. And what we read here is make extra effort to get it worked out. What seems to say? Take somebody else to try to work this out. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 21. I'm not going to read all of it, but just read a few verses. So Jesus teaches on this, and Peter came to him and he asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me. And then he throws out a number. Seven times? Maybe you've read this. The rabbi said you're only obligated to forgive somebody three times and that's it. Justice after that. So Peter says, I'm going to take a little step beyond. Seven times, Jesus. And what does Jesus say? No, not seven times, but 70 times seven. It's interesting. Peter didn't ask Jesus, what if I sin against somebody else? He's concerned about what if somebody does him wrong. And then he's kind of looking for a measuring rod. You know, how many times? And Jesus gives him this number, 70 times seven. It's as if he's saying, you know what? God doesn't keep count with your sins, so don't you keep count either. Let's read on these verses, and this I found very challenging. Let's read these verses 23, I'm going to read right on through 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells this story, can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. I read in one commentary about the number that they gave was about $10 million. Okay? He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. By the way, he couldn't pay it off in a lifetime. He couldn't pay it off in several lifetimes. That's why Jesus used that number that was so out there. Millions. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He's reading in another translation that it would be the equivalent of 3 months' pay. 3 months' pay. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Jesus tells this story. And by the way, this is a parable. You know, sometimes we overread stuff into it. But he's trying to say, look, shouldn't you have mercy because you have been forgiven so much? And what he was saying was, I want justice. So justice is what you want, really? And so the king heard about it and had him put in prison because that was justice. The point being this, keep in mind just how much you and I have been forgiven by God when it comes to us forgiving other people. We turn to another passage here in Ephesians chapter 4. Two other verses about forgiveness. Look at verses 31 and 32. Paul was writing and he said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I'm going to tell you, I have been forgiven when I have wronged others, and I'm thankful for it. And there have been times where I've had to extend forgiveness when I felt like I was injured. That's just a part of living. It's a part, it goes with the turf. And yet, sometimes we harbor unforgiveness for things that we feel like we missed out on or things that did not come through like we had expected. And sometimes it's horrific stuff in people's lives. Sometimes it is truly heartbreaking. But the person who can forgive is the person who can move forward and continue with life. I just have a few closing thoughts on this thing of forgiveness, and I'm hoping it may be a help to you today. First of all, forgiving doesn't always mean forgetting. Forgiving may include appropriate boundaries, staying clear of the one who hurt you until God changes their heart, not enabling the person who hurt you to repeat the offense. Let me ask you, for those who know about David and King Saul, do you think it would have been smart for David to go right back into King Saul's household? No, he needed to forgive his boss, but he needed to stay clear of that place, wouldn't you agree? Because King Saul tried to kill him. And so, friends, forgiveness sometimes has to set appropriate boundaries. And I want to get to another couple thoughts along this line as well. Forgiveness is not the same thing as trust. Forgiveness can be given now, but trust has to be rebuilt, and that usually takes time. Sometimes we confuse forgiveness and trust, and we think it's all going to be wrapped up right here and now. We can forgive simply by saying, God, this has hurt me, what has been done to me. I'm not going to try to deny it. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to whitewash it. This has hurt me in my life. It has cost me. But I can refuse to forgive and keep harboring this resentment and let it eat away at me like a cancer. Or I can say, you have forgiven me. I will forgive this person. But it does not necessarily mean you've got to march right back into that same situation. Forgiveness does not always result in reconciliation. In many situations, that's the hope and the goal. Wouldn't you agree? There's been a break in a relationship. You hope for reconciliation, but understand it's not always going to happen. But forgiveness is what needs to be going on in our own heart and mind before God. Sometimes reconciliation is not possible. Maybe the person who injured you is dead and gone. There's no talking to them. Maybe the person who injured you is at a distance. Maybe the person that injured you is dysfunctional and you need to give them a wide berth, but you can forgive. Here's what forgiveness comes down to, and that's canceling the debt that is owed you and forsaking revenge, trusting God to handle the justice. Let's take a look and see what Paul says about this. Romans chapter 12. And friends, look, you may be asking questions in your mind, well, what about people that do wrong and they get arrested? Now, you understand that the government is a part of God's justice. If you're expecting complete and total justice here in this life, you know, the one who stands holding the scales with their hands over their eyes, you're not going to get complete and total justice in this life. You hope for it. By the way, as imperfect as it is here, it's a lot better here than many other places around the world. We should be thankful for that. And by the way, that comes from somewhere. You know where that comes from? It comes from that Bible you're holding in your lap today. That's where that comes from. Forgiveness is canceling the debt, forsaking revenge, and trusting God to handle the justice. Now, this is not always easy stuff. It's easy to talk about it. But when you've been injured, seriously injured, to yield that revenge to God is a matter of faith. It's trusting God that he can work it out. And let's take a look at some verses regarding this. Romans 12, I'm going to start in verse 17. Paul is writing, he says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Now, that's not to burn them up. That's to light them up, to warm them up, all right? If you're dumping coals on their head to burn them up. It still sounds like revenge, doesn't it? All right? And these are heart issues. These are things that go on behind the face, behind the visage. These are things that are going on in our heart and mind. It says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That's what we're called to. Two more thoughts, and then we're done this morning. When we have been injured, and we recognize that resentment is being harbored in our lives, and we're giving it a home, sometimes it helps to remember that God is working through every event in our lives, even the bad ones. And we have in our Bibles an incredible story. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Remember the story about Joseph? Genesis chapter 50. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. What's worse than that, some of them wanted to kill him and lie to their father about it. But some cooler heads prevailed, and they said, let's just sell him and get him out of here. He probably was a bit of a pain in the neck. Showing his brothers, Dad loves me, look at this coat I'm wearing, got him into trouble. And so the dad dies, Jacob dies, and the brothers, I want to read the verses here, Genesis 50, and read it, verses 14 through 21. Let me just read it because the story is amazing. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him. And by the way, he could. He was in a position where he could pull it off and nobody would say boo. He could do it. Let's read on. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Now don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Remember that God is working through every event in our lives, even those difficult ones. And only God can do that kind of thing. Here's the last thought regarding forgiveness. And maybe this might be helpful. You can know that you're on the right track in forgiveness when you genuinely want good for that person's life. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be buddy-buddy. It doesn't mean you have to be in the same circle necessarily. If you perceive that this is just going to continue on. But if you can say, you know, they hurt me deeply. They injured me. And I've asked God to forgive them. And we may not ever be best friends again. But I hope God blesses them. And I want good things for their lives. Friends, do you see the difference between that and a heart consumed by resentment and bitterness? A huge difference. And I wish we could have showed you the video because it captured it so well in real life. A man who falsely accused another man, and because of that false accusation, he went to prison for 4 years. 4 years of his life. And then only to find that the guy who falsely accused him went to prison too. And they end up in the same halfway house. Forgiveness is what makes the difference. Let's stand. We're going to take some time. We'll pray, and then, Zabenzi, if you could start our invitation song. It may be today that you've been roughed up, some event in life. You know how it works in this life? Sometimes people injure us, We're hurt, but they don't even know. They don't have a clue. But don't feel left out, because most likely you and I do the same thing too.